Let us pray. Father, may the peace that passes all understanding live in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was rather a nice moment that Louise had at Flitton earlier today at the Remembrance Sunday commemorations there, when a little girl, I believe, asked about the purple poppies and said, what are they for? What do they represent? She said, it's for the animals that suffered and died in serving men and women during the wars, you know, like horses and pigeons and dogs. And one of the girls said, I do like horses. And one of them said, yes, what about unicorns? So I'm not sure whether they were there. But funnily enough, I saw one of the beavers take a unicorn down to the Millennium Green this morning. So maybe there's a connection going on there. I'm not quite sure. But peace is where we are, and peace is what we need. And that's what Louise and I were speaking on this morning. And I guess across the country and across the world, that's what we were invited to talk about quite rightly. I counted in the Bible, I cheated, I went to a concordance. It's mentioned 250 times. Now, I don't know when anything becomes significant by weight of numbers. If it's in the Bible, even if it says it once, it's important. But basically, there's something that is significant and perhaps elusive about peace. And interestingly, in that passage that was read to us by Paul, that's the first time in John's Gospel that the word peace is used, and it comes twice in the same verse, and then again a little bit later on in that long conversation that was recorded in the upper room before Jesus went out to be arrested. So a couple of chapters later, Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, similar to the reading we just had, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It's a peace that the world doesn't give, but Jesus gives. Now, I wonder when the most peaceful time for you has been recently. And if you're struggling to remember, it suggests that that's something that we all need. Strangely enough, Louise and I got up really early yesterday morning, just for a change, and went for a 9-mile walk, and it was very peaceful. So the only noise was a Weimaraner and 12 runners who overtook us. I had a sort of pang of, I used to be like that 20 years ago. But anyway, we went for a lovely walk, and it was very peaceful and very restorative. Something about being with God in nature and just enjoying each other's company. Peace is a good thing. And if God's peace transcends any peace that we have on earth, it's going to be very, very special. I look forward to it. And of course, peace is a central characteristic of the kingdom of God. It's what Jesus is pointing to all the time. As you go through the Bible, Numbers, the Lord turns his face towards you and gives you peace. Psalm 29, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. That wonderful passage in Isaiah that we're going to hear at Christmas. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that is what everyone wants wrapped under their tree this year and always. So here in John's Gospel and in Jesus' life, we attach peace to Jesus. Peace be with you. Those were the phrases that I thought, that's where I associate peace in the Bible. They're all in John's Gospel post-resurrection. You know, he appears in the room where they've locked themselves in, little surprised that they're a little bit scared, and he says, peace be with you. And then a week later, he uses the same phrase as well. So I think it's interesting that John has used peace three times before arrest, trial, crucifixion, death, and then three times post-resurrection. I'll have a chat with John when I get to heaven about that, whether there's any significance in it. But he's saying, peace can be found in me, and post-resurrection, peace I give to you. It is something that you have seen, because in his death there is the possibility of peace. And at the time, the peace that everyone knew was Pax Romana, the peace of the Roman Empire, supposedly. You know, invade people, kill them if need be, and take over. Is that peace? Peace by a sword. But it lasted for nearly 200 years, up to about AD 180. It covered a third of the world's population at the time. 70 million people had the peace of Rome, the protection of Rome. And it began when Octavian, who later became the Emperor Augustus, had defeated Mark Antony and Cleopatra. You know, cue William Shakespeare. But I found this very interesting quote about the Roman peace. Romans regarded peace not as an absence of war, but as a rare situation which existed when all opponents had been beaten down and lost the ability to resist. Is that real peace? Augustus' challenge was to persuade Romans that the prosperity they could achieve, of course, from other people, in the absence of warfare, was better for the empire than the potential wealth and honour acquired when fighting a risky war. So there's a kind of economics in the peace that the Romans had. But Jesus' peace was not to do with conquest of lands and people. It was to do with the soul, the heart, the mind. And it was an invitation to peace through his own suffering and death. In Colossians, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Could Jesus have done it another way? Did peace have to be realized through death and suffering? And I think that is why Remembrance Sunday is so poignant and so powerful, because we are pointing to the selfless service and sacrifice of individuals. And it gives me some insight into what Jesus did for me. So, peace comes because of the resurrection, because of the confidence we can have at that moment in Christ coming back from the dead. And peace comes in him, ultimately and always. I'd just like to read you a poem called Abide to finish. Even when I don't seem to be there, and my silence is something that's hard to bear, even when I seem to be hiding, I cherish your faithful attempts at abiding. So please, my friend, draw aside each day, no matter how busy, and come what may. For as trees draw life from the air and the ground, so you need to know that I am around. Outside and in your every cell, a guarantee that all is well, above and below, in front and behind, forever your Saviour, gentle and kind. I who redeemed you, God's own Son, the risen everlasting One, the One who continually calls you to come, to rest and read and pray and be, and again to abide in me. Father, may we find that peace and rest that you speak of. May it become a reality deep in the very marrow of our essence. So whatever may come, we have that confidence and complete conviction in the peace that we have in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.